Good morning. Thank you. Right. Thank you. Right. So we're talking about engaging with God. What is engaging with God is? I mean, when we engage with people, when we meet people, we're just making friends. So we're making friends with people. We're getting to know one another. We're having a relationship with one another. And that's what we're talking about, engaging with God. So we're having a relationship with God. Now, this starts, obviously, when you're saved. When you become saved, you want to have a relationship with God. You want to know, right, how do I do things? And I need to speak to God. Now, speaking to God is just praying, getting to know him. Once you know a person, you become more familiar. You get familiar with them. You ask them, right, how are you doing? What's going on? You know, how are things going on in your life? Abraham was a very good friend of God. They constantly engaged. He met up with him. They were good friends. He gave him the commandments. He didn't just wake up one day and say, oh, I'll go up the mountain and bring down the commandments. He actually had that relationship with him. He prayed about it. He listened. He opened his heart. He listened to God. So there was an openness there. There's an openness where you receive from God as well. Now, it becomes routine when we start asking, when you see someone, you know, you say, oh, hi, how are you doing? What's going on in your life? A lot of times there are two common responses you get, and I'm guilty for it as well. You hear they say, so far, so good. And you say, oh, hi, how's your day? Oh, so far, so good. Now, when someone says, so far, so good, it sounds as though, right, at the moment, everything's okay, but just around the corner, there's going to be some tiger around the jungle that's going to attack me, you know, so you think, okay, so far, so good. Are you waiting for something? It's like we're waiting for something to happen. You know, we're waiting for, you know, oh, is anything going to happen? But God has taken care of me so far. But at any minute now, he may forget me. No, God has taken care of you so far. He will continue to take care of you. He's not going to let you down. He's not going to leave you there. You keep that relationship with him. He would never, ever let you down. Another response you get is, oh, I'm tired. I say that you see, it's like, I'm tired. You've woken up, first thing in the morning, 10 o'clock, you're tired. What's going to happen to you at 3 in the afternoon? You know, we always think of the negative, but our response should always be, well, God's with me, I'm good. Is everything okay? Yeah, I'm great. If you have that relationship with him, your initial thought is, right, I wake up in the morning, I pray, you know, you speak to God, right, I've got this hard day, I've got this hard week, this is what's going on in my life, you know, how can I deal with it? You speak to him, and he will listen to you. We underestimate, or maybe overestimate, what prayer is all about, but praying is just talking to God. You know, it's just like having your friend. You sit next to your friend. How's your day been? What's been going on? You know what? You can do this. You can do that. Why don't you try this? Why don't you try that? That is what prayer is. We don't need all these eloquent words. Just like, you know, the Bible says, don't be like those who have all these eloquent words and just babble on. Because you don't want the bubble. You want to have an open heart to speak to God. Yes, yeah, so when we engage with God, we know him. We engage with him because we know him. We build a relationship with him. You know, you don't need big words to say, I'm going to pray. You sit with him in your basic language that you understand, because God knows your heart. God knows your heart. Whether you believe it or not, God knows your heart. So even the things that you're not prepared to share with him, he already knows, and he's already working in you for you to be able to come out and share with him so that he can show you the way on how to deal with them. So he knows your heart anyway. You know, it's like in Matthew 6, when he talks about prayer, and he goes, I mean, we can open there, Matthew 6, verse 5. He says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." He said, "Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So here's what I'm talking about. He knows your heart. So you don't need big words. He knows what is eating in you. He says, "And when you pray, do not keep babbling on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because their words are many. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask him." Okay, so that is why Jesus then goes on to teach you how to pray. This is where the Lord's Prayer comes in. It's just a, it's just a plan on how do we pray. So you remember, you're praying to your Father in heaven. That's what the Lord's Prayer is. You're praying to your Father in heaven. You want his will to be done on earth. So you think about that. You're praying to your Father. You want his will to be done on earth. He gives us our daily bread. Thank God. Most of us, hopefully, have had breakfast today. We've been able to feed our family. We're going to go home and we're going to have dinner. So he gives us our daily bread. He has sustained us. So you remember that. Now, this is the difficult part. And I'm as guilty as anyone is. It says, "Forgive us our sin as we forgive others." How easy is it for you to forgive others? I know it's not easy for me, but I try each day. Now, when it's difficult for you to forgive people because you're twined inside, holding that unforgiveness, that person hasn't got a care in the world. They don't think about how you're feeling against them. That doesn't bother them. So then you give it to God. You say, "Father, just as you forgive me my sins, help me to forgive others. Help me to let go. I want to let go." So you have got to want it. Even though it's difficult for us to forgive, we have got to want it, because that releases the blessing of God. That releases you into your next stance. So you don't have to hold on to that unforgiveness that kills us. And, you know, it's very difficult. So when we're praying, remember, that is why he taught us how to pray. It doesn't mean you have to use the Lord's Prayer all the time, but you just use those ideologies, those methods to pray. Okay, and he goes on to say, "Deliver us from the devil, from evil, sorry." But the main point I like to hold is the forgiveness. Because when you have this relationship with him, he forgives you everything. He's so quick to forgive, and he doesn't even remember what you've done. He doesn't even remember it. It's gone. So we need to learn to go there. Now, I know that Greater Life Church, you know, it's not a building. It's us. We're the people. I know you guys know how much I do want a building for the community. Now, this leads into prayer, because we've got to pray for this community. We've got to, and God knows that what we want is the community to be touched by him. So we should never forget that in our prayers. So you have different types of prayers. You have prayers where you pray for yourselves, where you pray for God to lead you, to guide you, to strengthen you. You've also got prayers for the community. Now, as a church, we want to reach the community. So when we pray to our Father, and we say to him, teach us how we can reach that community. Teach us how we can reach that community. Because if it's in our heart to reach the community, how do we do it? How do we do it? We need to learn to open the channels of relationship, of talking with God and listening to him and getting him, you know, getting us ready of a place to know exactly where he wants us positioned in the community. Because, you know, we'll be here in 20 years' time, the next generation will be here, and boom, they're the ones to take us on. So we should never underestimate the power of prayer. Never underestimate the power of prayer. Now, the key to courage is giving thanks. Yeah, I know Owen mentioned today, you know, how good things have been today. We need to remember to give thanks. We give thanks to everything. We need to give thanks to, in the midst of it all, you give thanks to God. In the midst of it all, you give thanks to God. You know, we take a few moments, think through all the good things in your life. Think through all the good things in your life. We're so quick to think of the bad things. We're so quick to think of the negative things. But there are so many good things in our lives that we need to think about. We need to be encouraged about. We need to thank God for. We need to be very thankful. So when we're praying, we're thanking God for it may seem the littlest of things to you. It may seem, oh, okay, well, I can walk. Yeah, you can walk. But can you really walk out of whatever your situation? So it may seem very little, but thank God in everything. Just give thanks to God. So take some time out. Talk to God about your life. Talk to him about what is going on in your life, what you're like, you know, how he's leading you. Be grateful for the little things, for a roof over your head. You know, for a roof over your head, be grateful. For the cars we drive in, be grateful. Be thankful to him because he is our provider. He is our source. And once we have that relationship with him, once we have that connection with him, we do not break it because we know and we know and we know. You know, now prayer is powerful. Really powerful, because it unleashes the power of God's work on our behalf. Yeah, so we're thinking, okay, we're going into the community, but praying before we step out, that unleashes the power. That unleashes the power. You know, and even more significant than our individual prayer, we have prayers for fellow believers. We join together to ask God to work out his will in our circumstances. So we have corporate prayer. We all join together and we believe in one thing, to reach out to people, to bring God's blessing into people's lives. Okay, so just before Lucille comes in, just think about all the goodness that God has done for you. Think about being thankful. If there are people in our hearts that we need to forgive, just let go. It's not as easy as that, but you say to God, Father, this is what I want to do. I do want to forgive. I want to let it go. You know my heart. You can help me. Just let it go. And things will fall in place for you. Things will fall in place. You'll be amazed about the difference, even in your own stance, even in your own spirit, even in your own attitude, you'll be amazed once you just let go. You know, God is a good friend, and he just wants to have relationship with us. Let's open our hearts to him and just welcome him daily. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Well, I've been blessed by that. I only heard a little bit of it, had to be out here. But thank you very much. Thank you. Engaging with God. We all know I think something that we need to do. And when we do, we are blessed by it. And yet it's one of the areas that we really struggle to, you know, to do, to find time for God and things like that. And we have to have a desire to pray. And if we don't have it, we've got to ask God for a desire to pray, because we get more blessed by praying than he does. Although he loves the fellowship with us, but we do get more blessed, you know, by finding time for God. And I've got a few things here about, you know, why should we engage with God? I think Mazel's talked about the personal thing. And our growth depends on it, doesn't it? It really does. And the Bible talks about growth and maturity and becoming more like Christ. And how do you do that? You've got to hang around in God's presence. You've got to seek the person you want to be like. And that's how, you know, as the Bible says, you know, when we see him, we become like him. And that's where it comes from. And it is a process. And many of you are mature Christians and have been, you know, how prayer works for a long time. And but it is a process. When you start where you're at. You start small, you know, and but you just need to start with that desire to seek God. And because, you know, it pleases him for a start. And you get blessed by it. So, yeah, that's one thing. Yeah, to become like him, we've got to want it, and you've got to seek him. And the other thing is that's winning the battles in life depend on it. You know, we in battles, or you know, we're fretting. We need to see God, and you know, that's just the way it is. And the more you do, the more, I mean, it's like relationship, isn't it? The more you get to know someone, the more at ease you are in their presence, you know, and you get to know them. And as you get to know them, certain things that you really kind of like didn't quite get, suddenly you get that, but you're moving to the next level. You know, that's how it is with God. There's always a next level with God. But you've got to start where you're at. You've got to start with the desire to be, you know, to seek him. And this is where, you know, you hang out with God. This is where you learn things. This is where you have answers. This is where, you know, all the, you know, the peace and the joy, and just, you know, circumstances might be screaming at you and not being right, but when you get in the presence of God, suddenly it's all right. I don't know about you, sometimes we come to church, have a lot on, and then you come out of church, you're being in the presence of God, you're thinking, well, what was that all about? You know, and you just go home, you're just a different person. That's the presence. That's, you know, you came to the house because you wanted to be in his presence. And so there is, you know, that's, as I was saying, there's so much to be gained. And we're human beings, you know, if we see where we can gain, what we can get out of doing something, we'll do it. And God knows that. And so, but that's okay. But it's, you know, we want to grow in God. We've got to want to seek his face, want to be with him. And Mrs. touched on the power of prayer as well. And healing, miracles, overcoming the devil, even our salvation came from the power of God coming into our lives, you know, touching our hearts and changing us. You know, that's where it starts. It starts with just us, our saving faith. That took power. Somebody preached the gospel to us with power, and our hearts got convicted of our need for God, and that's where it starts, you know. And from there, you have to work out that salvation. You need power to do that. So we need power throughout our lives to see God's kingdom coming to earth. Without the power, we just have, you know, the Bible says we have the form, without power, we just have the form, and it's ineffective. It's ineffective for our own lives because we just struggle everybody else without the power of God, and we can't reach out to others because it's just like a religion, it's just like a form with no power, and people say, my life's all right, as it is. You know this God, but your life's, my life is better than yours, kind of thing. But that's how we need the power of God, you know, to reach out for our own lives so we can be a testimony to God's goodness. Without his power, we can't be a testimony to him. And then our lives should reflect our God, who is a powerful God. And that is what reaches the lost. You know, they can see there is something there. There is a power of God. And I can see the love of God working in their lives. I can see their lives changing. I can see how they don't fret. They're not anxious about things. They have a problem. They just go to their God. They pray. They get results. And so this is the power we need to live our daily lives. Without it, we're struggling away like everybody else. So the power of God is so crucial. And it's interesting that God also chooses to work for people. God, you know, we are his hands and feet, so we need that power. And he uses us, you know, to reach out to others. And so we may not want the power for ourselves, but let's have the power for people out there. I was thinking that's it. You may not feel you want to do this, but get the power because you are here to reach people around you with the love of God. You get the power for them. That suddenly kind of gets you out of your selfishness, isn't it? When you start to put other people before, you know, how you're feeling. And it's never good to go by your feelings anyway, especially when it's taking you in the wrong direction. So, yeah. And engaging with God is crucial for knowing the will of God for our lives, for our own lives, for the lives of our church, and for the community. That is one part of, you know, we do need to engage with God for that. And as I say, you know, he works his will on earth through people, for us, his people. And he's done that right from the start. If you look at the Old Testament all the way down, you know, from Moses, and he's always used people all the way down, you know, into the New Testament, right to the end. And that's the way he does it, and he's not going to change that. So let's just catch a heart that God has for people, for the earth, that the people he's created, and let's just grab the power and just do his work for him. Yeah. So but how do you come? You know, that's how to do it. Why engage with God? Let's have a look at, you know, what. Yeah, how do we do it? And this is what Luke 11:9 says. It says, "So I say to you," that's Jesus talking, "ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you shall find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door shall be opened to you." So it's something that we have to keep. It's something that it's ongoing, is it? We don't stop. We keep knocking. We keep asking. We keep seeking. We keep knocking. And with the asking, obviously, one thing we do we petition God for things, don't we? That's why it says ask. And when we ask from our heart, then God really, he blesses that, and that's what, you know, he'll go with that. Because normally, if we asking from our heart, it's, you know, almost always kind of like when you spending time with God, it's almost as always it's kind of like you make time for him, and you kind of know his heart, and you're asking out of that. It's always really quite, you know, it's really prayer. You know, we talk about praying, asking, you know, praying the will, you know, the will of God. But asking from the heart. Lucas there, he's going to get embarrassed now. He's a great prayer, because when we pray, I said, you know, he said to me, "I don't know what to pray." I said, "Lucas, pray from your heart." It's amazing what comes out of his mouth. I just kind of looked at him. I said, "Where did that come from?" You know, but that's it. When you're asking God, you know, just look into our heart, say, "God," you know, and when we kind of look into the spirit, his spirit bears witness with our spirit, and then we start to pray, you know, his prayer, you know, as the Holy Spirit helps us. And so when we ask, you know, he, as the Bible says, he knows what we need, but he wants us to ask. Because when we ask, he wants our hearts to be right in our asking, I believe. And when we do that, you know, we ask, you know, just really, like he would want us to ask, and he will grant that. And and God is good. Yeah? Agree? Yeah. When we ask, you know, he does hear. And sometimes it's a quick result. Sometimes we have to persist. And the persistence does more for us, really, and in that we grow in trusting God when we really persist with something. Particularly when you know it's something that it's his will to do, and you persist in that, he will answer. He will answer. You know, we see this, you know, a lot in our church, you know, and we pray for people for a long time, for different situations, isn't it? But until we get a result, until we feel God's given us the answer, we just keep going. And the other thing about petition, be specific. Yeah? Be specific. You know, whatever it is, you know, just ask. You know, just be specific in your prayers. And, let me just go through some conditions that we do need to get our prayers answered. I think Mason's touched on forgiveness. Yeah? And so that's one thing, you know, when we go to God, we need to make sure we don't have any unforgiveness in our hearts. And then the Bible says he does hear our prayers. So that's okay. I'll get this one out of the way. Somebody's there. Okay. And the other thing, the other condition is we must ask in faith. Yeah? And Matthew 21:22 says this. He said, whatever you ask in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. So it takes faith to receive. Yeah? Okay, and the other thing that is another prerequisite, really, is we have to have an abiding relationship with Jesus. You have to know God as your Lord and Savior, and then obviously without that, it's very hard to ask in faith if you don't have a relationship with Him. And so we must abide in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's another prerequisite to seeing your prayers answered. And what happens there, really, you know, as we remain in prayer, and it is a process, you just got to start where you're at, but make it a habit. You know, we do develop, we do grow, and so you start to see the desires of God's heart. You really do. I mean, I just now, when I pray, I just surprise myself what I pray for. Well, before I would just pray, God, do this, God, do that. But now as I start to pray, I just kind of catch his heart about things, his compassion about situations. And I just pray out of that, just because, you know, I've been a Christian for a little while. So, you know, I've had quite a bit of practice, you know. But it's taken years to get to a point where you kind of really feel confident that what you're going to say is going to be what God wants you to pray about. You know, I remember being in prayer meetings where you just like, your heart is burning. Something wants to come out, but you're just thinking, but that's not me praying. That's not my prayer. I don't understand where that came from. And then at the beginning, you just don't pray. You think, you know, everyone's going to look at me funny, and because this is a bit of a weird prayer. But then I started to discover it's coming from my heart. It's got actually the Holy Spirit wanting me to pray, you know, the God kind of prayer. So now I just go with it and just say, God, forgive me if I get it a bit wrong. But I just go. But funny enough, when you do, it's amazing how in our group of praying, it suddenly changes the atmosphere when you get this kind of prayer. Everybody else starts to pray at the back of that. Everybody else starts to pray that kind of prayer. So, you know, if you feel really strongly, you know, something wants to come out of you, it's bursting out, then, you know, more often than not, it's a prayer from the Lord. So go for it. Because you will bless the people there with you. And also, obviously, out of that, we'll really start to pray, you know, what's in the heart of God in our kind of corporate prayer. The other thing that the Bible talks about with regards to having your prayer answered is having the right motivation. You know, when God desires what we asked him should be what's going to glorify him. Yeah. So basically, let me just read you that scripture. I'll make a bit more sense. It's James 4:3 says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." So obviously, if our prayer is out of selfishness, then and just for us, you know, God does bless us. Don't get me wrong. God do bless us. But when your motivation is just what you can get from God and what God can do just for you, and, you know, but you kind of blink out about just your own needs. It's good to, I mean, God will meet your needs, but it's just when it's very much all about you. And, you know, as he says, you know, spending it on your pleasures and without regards for anything else. Pretty much, you want to spend it on you and God's second. I think that's what I believe saying, that it's what you want, whether God wants it for you or not, or whether it's the right thing or not, but you want it. And therefore then, you know, you're going to do it regardless, and God's going to be not be at the forefront of your decision and what you want to do. So, and, you know, obviously, you know, like with any kind of relationship, selfishness does destroy a relationship, as we all know, isn't it? So, same, you know, we are in relationship with God, so selfishness towards God will destroy our relationship with him as well. So, but just bear in mind, we are growing in God. We're all at different places, and God sees that. God sees your heart. If you want to get, you know, get close to God, you can. And he says, draw me to near to me, and I'll draw near to you. So that's, you know, it's, we're all in different places. And, you know, for all of us here, you know, it's taken years. I can say, you know, it's taken years to get to a place where you feel you really hear God's heart. So don't, you know, don't be hard on yourself. You know, if you're at the point where you're just asking God for steps, it's okay. But you just kind of, you know, just ask from your heart, and you ask in the right way. You know, when you pray, when, you know, wanting God, petitioning God for things. And yeah, the other thing I just mentioned before, we must ask according to the will of God. So, and this is where prayer and the Word of God kind of gets together. You got to know what the Word of God says about stuff. And when you do, you can then pray according to his will. Suddenly, it's God's will to heal. Yeah? Yeah? It's God's will to bless. Signs, miracles, and wonders, and the Word of God. So if we're praying along those lines, we know we are praying the will of God. And so provision, deliverance, anything like this, it's in the Word. So when we pray that way, we know we're praying the Word of God. We're praying about according to the will of God. So we can really go for it. Yeah, just, we really can because it's in the Word. And we know God always wants to show his goodness. So all these things displays his goodness. So we can go for that with confidence. Just, you know, you can go for any of those kind of things. And that's 1 John 5:14 says that. He says, you know, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So, you know, if you know what the will of God is, the Word of God will back his, you know, his will. And so if you're not sure about something, talk to somebody else who's good at praying. Especially, I'm got this funny, because sometimes, you know, you've got to be careful, because sometimes your own thought can deceive you about what God wants for you. Isn't it? We've all been there, haven't we? And but if it's something that you're thinking, I'm not sure this is, you know, I can feel that's, you know, this is the will of God, but I'm not sure. Let me ask somebody who's a good prayer, you know, and let me get somebody to pray with me and help me with this. So, in other words, you don't want to get deceived about the will of God as well, because a lot of things people say is the will of God isn't the will of God, and then they go off track, and then you end up in a mess, and then you wonder how you got there. So it's good. That's why, you know, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety, isn't it? So whatever you feel, I'm not sure, but this is the will of God for my life, or the will of God for me, get people around you. We've got great praying people in this church. So I would just encourage you to just speak to someone or get them to pray with you, and just, you know, and, you know, we're here for one another. We've got to protect one another. It's because we all want to go in the same direction in God. We want to grow in God. So whoever's ahead, a little bit ahead, pulls everybody else along with them. That's the church of the living God. That's what God wants. You know, that we, you know, we might know a little bit more, but we pull along people who need that knowledge that we have. Because as we give out, God will fill us even more with more knowledge. So we always are pushing forward together. Yeah? Okay? Yes? All right. Talk about that. And I think Maze has covered our devotion to God about personal prayer. I think you've, you know, that is, and I think I could have at the beginning mentioned that. And because really, and as I said, God is, you know, you're to seek, you know, seek and we will find. And God is, you know, he's a living being who seeks fellowship with his children, with his people. And he's created us for fellowship and really to know him, you know. And the Apostle Paul is a great example of that. He said to know him, you know, everything was lost to him because he just wanted to know Christ. And so that's the kind of spirit when we come to without seeking God, just because you just want to know him and be like him, and just, you know, and it's not just knowing him in all his power, but also he suffered as well. So, you know, and there's an element of suffering with knowing Christ as well. There's an element of sacrifice in knowing Christ. But it is something that we're building an eternal bank account when you do that. So we may go through things for him on this, in this life, but we just in heaven, there's an eternal bank account that's just adding up and adding up as you put him first in this life. So seeking him, you know, and putting him first is probably the call for every Christian, really. You know, and that's, you know, if he's first, you can have anything else, isn't it? And I think Mesa also touched about the intercession side of prayer, isn't it? And that's what we're knocking. We're knocking on the door, for, you know, for others. And, yeah, and this is where really, with the intercession, where we share the burden of Christ for a person or circumstance or need anywhere in the world. You know, I pray for my family. Then say, "Joseph, over there." And they reach out, we say something to me, and I say, "Right, okay, we'll pray about that." I'll pray over the phone sometimes for situations. And so when you just have a heart for it, and you just go for it. And so, yeah, and it's so necessary to fulfill the, God's divine will on earth, intercession. Because we're always interceding for those who don't know the Lord. We're interceding for each other, because we all need to grow in God. We all have certain needs, certain things that we you know, it's not quite right in our lives. So we are all intercessors, really. And sometimes some people just have the anointing to intercede for others, and you see that, and you just learn from them. That's what I did. You know, just learn from people. Really seem to have a heart for people, heart to pray for situations and see results and all that kind of thing. So, you know, I just jump on the bandwagon and go with it. And I just love to pray for people. I really do. I just love to see God, you know, God move in situation, because it's his heart to touch every life, to touch every human person he's ever made. It is his heart to do that. And as his people, as his church, we need to recognize that and just agree with him to something that he already wants, and just be his hands and his feet, his mouthpiece to do that. And obviously also, while the church is praying, you know, we are holding back, you know, the darkness. We really are. We don't realize how we are. We really are. If we're not here, if God's people are not here, it'd be completely dark. The reason that, you know, things are still light is because God's people are here. Yeah? So bear that in mind when you're praying for people and everything. You are here. You are important to God. Every single one of you. Every single one of you, because you are here. You are the light of the world. So you make a difference. Don't any other voice that tells you otherwise, it's a lie from the enemy. Don't listen to it. All right? Because that's what the Word of God says. You are the light of the world. And you walk in the light. So when you walk in the light, where there's darkness, that darkness doesn't like it. Because your light will expose the darkness. So this is why we have resistance, we have trouble, we have trials. Because we do have an enemy that doesn't want us to walk in that light, that tries to convince us, oh, you don't need to pray, you don't need to seek God. God knows your needs, you don't need to ask, that kind of thing. That's, again, is a lie, because God wants us to lay hold of him. And we do that by just seeking his face and knocking on the door for other people and just petitioning him for our needs. So don't listen to the lie. And because we are in the way of the devil doing his, what he really wants to do is annihilate all God's people, or people really, because he's jealous of them. So we are here for a purpose. We are here to just bring the light into our world. When you look in the history, prayer has always been the key to every revival you read about, isn't it? It might be one person, it might be a group of people, and so, which is why it's the same for us. If you want to see God do something amazing, something useful, we have got to devote our, just like the early church, our lives to praying. And individually, you know, now in prayer time, and also corporately, there's so much power in praying corporately. And I learned to pray through going to prayer meetings. I really did, because I had a desire to pray, but I just really didn't know, you know, how to pray. So, and right from the start, you know, I just had this desire to just learn how to pray. And I keep getting told it's important to pray, but then I was thinking, but how do you do it? And so I just went to prayer meetings, even when my daughter was disabled, even when she was around, where I could take her, I used to take her with me. And I just wanted to be where people are praying together as one, in power. I just wanted to be there. And because of my hunger to pray, I think over the years I can see how God's kind of, you know, honored that and blessed me to pray for people and see change, you know. And but it has been a long process, but, you know, but that's the way it is with God. Everything worth having takes time, all right? There's no quick fix or, fast prayer, you know, fast food prayer place or whatever, you know. It takes time. And, like, your relationship with your spouse, your friends take time to build. You know, it's the same with God. It just takes a desire to want it, isn't it? So, yeah, we can see, I mean, to bring it down to what's happened now, one gentleman that really discovered the power of prayer was Dr. David Yonggi Cho, who's got the largest church in the world. But that came through prayer. He started to discover prayer would bring revival. He started to teach his church, his leaders, and his pastors to pray for revival. Then every new person learns about prayer, and that's how the church grew to be so big, just because they realized also that, you know, prayer would bring down revival. Praying earnestly would get God's attention. And not only that, and also keeping praying to maintain it, to keep it going. And so, which is why we say keep knocking, keep seeking, you know, and keep asking. So it's something that we got to keep going throughout our lives, really. But it should be fun. It should be just because it should be like, you know, you and God, you know. And so it should be more like look at it from just building up relationship, seeing God's heart, praying out of God's heart. You know, then prayer is not, you know, it is hard work sometimes, you know, especially if you've been busy, you've been running around, and then think, oh, you know, especially when sometimes when it comes to prayer meetings. But the funny thing, as soon as you get there, isn't it? As soon as you get there, it's kind of like, right, I'm here, you know, let's go for it. You know, it's so funny. But, you know, the kind of physical side of you sometimes kind of let you down, isn't it? But once you get there, it's kind of like, let's, you know, you're there, so let's go for it. So, yeah. It's true. If you're not sure how to pray, you know, and you just want, you just want the presence of God, the anointing to kind of, you know, go to the corporate, the meetings. We have hot house. That's it. We have two hot houses. We have one every Sunday, about 9:45, isn't it? Yeah, till about 10:15. Before the service, because we, you know, what happens here is the result of us praying up there. So when you come in, a lot of people say that just they come in, they feel the love of God, the presence of God. That's because we are praying in church. We pray for the service. We go up, you know, for half an hour, and we really do that. So that's what you feel when you come in, because we do pray. And we also have our hot house every other Wednesday at Christian Owens. So, you know, just come and join us, because you'll just learn, just like me, just learn to get into the presence of God and try and catch the heart of God, you know, by hanging out with him in his presence. And so it will help you with your own personal prayer life by just being with others to just encourage you to pray. And is it a biblical thing to get to that, to pray together? I think it is, isn't it? You know, in Matthew 18, it says, you know, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them. So obviously God wants us to pray together. And where two of us are gathered together, I am in the midst of them. That talks about church, and also talks about prayer. So it is certainly the heart of God for us to be one when we're praying, and on the same page, and agreeing, because there's power in agreement. So all the more for us to just, you know, just get involved.
You're quiet, you're right?
Yeah. It's okay.
It's
I just share a little something with you. Something actually, you know, is going for corporate prayer meetings that God spoke to me about going to Bible college. That's a little personal testimony for me about what God can do when he gets your attention, which he does when you go to prayer meeting. That's really going, and, you know, his presence is there. You know, God can just, you know, show you things that sometimes on your own you don't quite get to see. And it was 2006, I think it was, and we had our first ever full-time Bible college as a church. And something I always wanted to do, because I knew it's good, it's always good to, you know, to study the Bible, but as those of you who've done Bible college, the part-time things we do, Pastor Paul, you know, it's quite different. it's quite practical, it's quite powerful, you know, when he does anything like this. So there was always going to be like a great practical element alongside learning all the principles. So, which is great. I had a great time, but I didn't know how it was going to work out, because I wanted to go, but I was thinking I've got to work and I've got to give up work, and then, you know, but I just, in one of those corporate prayer meetings, I just had, for the first time ever, I heard like almost like the voice of God, yeah, like a still small voice saying, this is your chance to go, otherwise there'd be no other chances for you to do this. I don't know what it means, but it really got my attention, because I've never really heard God speak to me in that way, you know, and it's kind of like, you need to be there. And then straight away, I shared it with somebody. I thought, I've got to share it, because if I think too much about it, I'll probably think it wasn't God. So I just share it. And then over the weeks, and I just kind of felt, it's true. It is God wanting me to go to Bible college. And so then I approached my boss, obviously, because I said, I need time off. And I'm a physio, so obviously if I go out, that's one physio less, so which means then waiting list and all that kind of thing. You know, and so obviously it will have a big impact on the service, since I was the only physio at the time as well. But I just got, you know, God wants me to do this. I just got to go and talk to him about this. And he granted me the time off. Yeah, he did. I was thinking, okay, all right. I just put my reasoning, and I'm doing something else. And then I thought, the Bible college was like two days a week, and then you have lots of time, you know, time that you have to put in to make up about 30 odd hours a week or something. So I had time to do some part-time work. But if you go on a sabbatical, you're not allowed to work, or they let you work for 28 days. And that's it. So, but because I asked for sabbatical, which means I can only work for 28 days. And so then I did get a job with a different team on a part-time basis. And then the big boss called me and says, you know, you can only do 28 days. Do you know that with your sabbatical? I said, really? I said, okay, all right. I said, in that case, then I just let God. Provide for me to do it. And then she got back to me again. She said, actually, we're not going to call it a sabbatical. I don't know how they got away with it, to be honest. And you just have the time out and then just work for the other team. And that was that. So while for 9 months I worked with this other team, which is a blessing as well. And I did Bible college at the same time, so I didn't have to lose out, you know, financially at all. So there you go. So there is something there. You know, it's prayer really works, and being in the presence of God really works. God can really speak to you. And I wasn't expecting that. I just had a desire to do it, but he just kind of like showed me that this is something he wanted me to do. And the funny thing is, after that time, they did not allow anybody to have any sabbatical. So that was my chance. It was my chance to do it or not do it, really, because then, you know, we haven't been able to run another full-time Bible college yet. But that was it. And it was just like, you know, it was just the best thing I ever did, as anybody who's done Bible college, just something else, isn't it? It's just pretty amazing. Your prayer life just grows, which I think probably that, again, it was the blessing of God over my prayer life, because just being in that environment, you just learn to hear from God, really, and you just learn to pray. And after that, I've just kept it going, really. So I just want to encourage you, you know, have a desire for God. When you have a desire for him, you want to spend time in his presence. You want to just be, be, you know, seek His face, and just develop that part of your life, you know, because you'll just be amazed what He can do. All the struggles you have, all those, you know, things that you just don't seem to get right, and you just don't seem to see a way out of it. But you spend time with God, He will show you a way. There's always a way with God, but we've got to seek Him and find out what the way is. Amen? Amen. Thank you for listening.